Now, at the end of April and going into May, there was a major change for Sonos users. The app that everyone had used for such a long time was getting a major overhaul. And there were already some concerns from people who were beta testing the new Sonos app that it was not going to work for voiceover users and those of us who use assistive technologies. Well, the upshot of that was that the app updated regardless, and many people who had not gone ahead and stopped automatic updates were going to receive the new app. Now, some managed to stop that, but it became clear later that actually it didn't matter whether you hadn't updated or not. You had to update to the new app in order to keep your services functional and to be able to use the Sonos system. Now, needless to say, this caused quite a bit of controversy during the month of May among the blind community. And we have reached out to Sonos and we have heard back from them to get their say on what happened during that month and what is happening going forward to hopefully improve the situation. But first, I want to hear from two people who were directly impacted by this, two blind people who listen to our show who have come on to share their stories. We'll hear from Elliot Stonehill in just a moment. But first up here is Nikki Keck, who joins us. Now, Nikki, we reached out to you actually on Mastodon to get a sense of your take and try and figure out, you know, from a user experience point of view, someone who actually uses Sonos every single day, to figure out what had happened here, what had actually gone on. But perhaps we could start at the beginning and actually focus on Sonos itself as a service, something you were using. What was your experience of it? What did you feel about Sonos, say, you know, a year ago when you were using what was a very accessible app?
It is. It is great. I mean, and when we first got it, everything was totally accessible. And they seemed like they were so committed to accessibility.
It's very interesting you say that. They seemed like they were committed to it. What gave you that impression?
Well, I guess the thing that gave me the impression was that a couple of my friends had told me, oh, yeah, I've been in touch with the people at Sonos, and they always seem very open to accessibility. And, I mean, their app at that time was very accessible. It was a great experience at that time.
And what was your feeling about the new app? Because, of course, then we heard about the new app that was coming. Until you had heard about the horror stories around accessibility, were you excited about what was coming down the line?
Well, I was skeptical because I'm always worried that accessibility is going to break. But I was hopeful that they would keep accessibility in mind. And because they had done so in the past, and at first I had actually heard them say that it was going to be accessible with VoiceOver. And I thought that I had heard a rumor that that was the case, but it didn't turn out to be.
So what was your first experience when you have updated to the new app then?
I have. Now, I mean, I didn't update right away because I had talked with somebody on Mastodon who was a beta tester for the app, and he was expressing some real frustration. And I was like, I'm going to wait. And then there was the Ask Me Anything, which was crazy. And we finally got some results from that. And then we got the update. So when I first updated, I had trouble finding anything. And it was like, you had to use Explore by Touch. It seemed like a lot to get from your home view to your settings to your system view. I mean, and still, the main screen is a hodgepodge of everything right there. You have recently played, and then you have your services below that, and it's all smashed together. There's no headings. There used to be headings from recently played to your services and stuff. There are no headings anymore at all, and it's just finding it is a real, you know, bear.
Yeah, and this is what we're hearing from a lot of different people, right? That this is just, even from a visual perspective, there are people who are unhappy about this design, this complete change, which is also quite interesting. You know, this is not unique to the blind community. It seems that even the mainstream community who are using this don't like it either. How did you feel about Sonos in that moment when you opened the app, when you got into it? You know, you mentioned that you felt Sonos had, you know, really thought about accessibility, cared about accessibility. What were your feelings once you opened that app?
Well, my feelings actually didn't change once I opened the app. They changed when I heard about the problems. And I was like, well, I guess here we go. Another, you know, here's a company that I thought was committed to accessibility, and they're not. They only care. It almost seemed like they only cared about their bottom line and making this new app and making it look so wonderful and great and flashy, but, you know, not really caring about their users. And it made me very sad.
I can almost, I think us as a community are very patient when it comes to accessibility. We're very forgiving most of the time. And yes. We say, you know, okay, so yes. It's not accessible. There's problems here. Let's give you some time to fix it. But how do you feel about the response from Sonos about how they handled when they were told and informed? And I still maintain that they knew well before they actually hit the release date of the problems here. How do you feel Sonos handled the problem?
Well, first of all, I mean, I feel like they kind of made excuses and, you know, we're like, oh, well, we dropped the ball. We're sorry. We'll make improvements. And just all these promises that, you know, just it almost felt like they were saying all this stuff to, you know, shut us up, if it were, as it were, you know, kind of like, oh, man, these people are complaining. We didn't expect this, you know. Well, let's say what we have to say to make them happy. And I mean, why didn't they have voiceover beta testers to begin with? I mean, I only know of like one or two, and now all of a sudden they're getting like 300 beta testers or something like that. Why didn't they do this in the first place? They're not seeing the full problem, it feels like.
Yeah, and this is the issue, isn't it? It feels in some ways like, you know, the issues are being raised, and either they're not being taken seriously, or once right. It reaches media, then they take it seriously. And that's the irritant, isn't it? It's like our word doesn't have the weight that perhaps it should.
And actually, this is the funny thing, and I don't understand this. Now, this is for everybody, not just the blind community, but I found out on the Ask Me Anything thing that when they first released the app, alarms were not working. And you couldn't set an alarm. We use those alarms every day to wake up. And, like, it's not just us. I mean, they weren't working for anybody. And they had to release an update. Now they are. And actually, we were able to do it again, accessibly, thank goodness. But the point is, why would they release an app that you couldn't even set an alarm when that is a basic feature of the product?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And the alarms do keep coming up in the mainstream articles that I've read as well. That's the main thing. Like, where's our alarms gone?
Yeah.
And the response I saw was that, hey, we're doing these features and these functionalities in a different way in this app. And they will be back. It's just going to be in a different way. But I just feel, hang on about the alarms. How about the fact that there's a big, large user base of your products here, where basically you've bricked their hardware. They can't use it. I mean, isn't that, I get so
it's
frustrated.
Expensive.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's like I mentioned, us being patient as a community when it comes to just software. This is more than that. We've got investments in hardware here that we simply can't use because of what reason? It's not a case you didn't know about the accessibility problems. So I still say it's a case of you chose to go ahead and we'll deal with it later. And I don't think that's good enough.
I don't either. And I think that honestly, for the mainstream problems and the accessibility issues, I think they should have waited on this app release until they had more of this ironed out.
Yeah, that was a big criticism leveled at them. And, you know, you can sort of understand it, I guess, from the point of view of they do have to hit certain dates in order to get the app into the store and get it released. And those things have to be prearranged. But, you know, they knew about these issues before that, right? So they could have easily halted that process. You know, it would have been a very different response, I think, from the community if they had said, we're actually going to hold back the release of this app because we've learned that it's not accessible for blind people. That would have been a very interesting response. And I think we'd have got so much more credit in the community as a result of that, right?
Yeah.
It would have been a great statement.
But, you know, you've got to look forward, I guess. I mean, it's not as if, I know there's some people out there who want to just chuck all their Sonos in the sea, But that's not ideal for anybody to do that.
No.
And it's probably not going to happen for most people. There's always the reality here, I think, Nikki, that when these kind of things happen, you know, we talk about them for a while, Sonos will fix it, and then we'll all just move on. We'll just carry on and forget it happened.
Yes.
Do you think that's the case? Do you think that we'll just move on and forget about it once it's fixed? Or do you think that they have left a bad taste in people's mouths?
I think it depends on how well it's fixed. Once it's actually, they've made all the improvements they're supposedly going to make. But if there continue to be issues and they are not resolved, then I do think that even if it is usable or workable and you can do stuff with it, I think then there will be a bad taste in people's mouths. But I just think it's going to depend on how well it works in the future. And if it works as well as the previous interface, which was very excellent.
And would it stop you buying future devices? I mean, we've got the new Sonos headphones coming out. Everyone seems rather excited about. Would it stop you from buying that?
Right now, yes. I'm not going to buy anything new until I see how this pans out.
Nikki, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I so appreciate it.
Now joining us down the line is Elliot Stonehill. Now, Elliot is a regular contributor to Double Tap, and you'll have heard many of his emails on the show. Elliot, good to have you here in person on Double Tap.
Thank you, Stephen.
Now, we were talking there with Nikki, and she was telling us her experience of the app. I want to get your experience. I also want to talk about your involvement in the Sonos beta program and get a little bit of an update to, figure out what is coming down the line. Are there improvements coming? But we know some improvements have happened already, but what else is coming down the line? So we'll get to that. But you know, I want to go back to that first question I asked Nikki, which was, why did you buy into Sonos in the first place? And what drew you to that?
I think I just sort of heard someone on the radio talking about it about 10 years ago. And I thought that sounds pretty cool. I'll sort of try it out. And I just found like the quality was excellent. The app sort of up to now has been excellent, really sort of easy to control. When I first got them, they didn't have like integration with voice assistants. I was just about to say the name then, but it would set her off. When they brought the sort of Sonos ones out, I think it was about 2017 with that integration, sort of improved the system even further. I just found them like really good quality. I mean, it's not cheap, don't get me wrong. So I'm sort of quite fortunate to have them. Just all really good quality, and the best sort of speaker system set up that I've had really.
And from the app point of view specifically, how accessible was it back then?
The Play Ones. I think it must have been 2015, 2016. The app was definitely accessible then in terms of sort of setting it up and sort of, obviously I said it didn't have the voice assistant integration then. So if you wanted to play music from a service or radio, you had to go into the app to put it on. Obviously it's quite a long time ago. My memory's not very good, but I don't remember encountering a lot of problems. Otherwise I wouldn't have carried on sort of buying different products from them.
Yeah, I remember that as well. I think I had a Play One at that point, which didn't have the voice assistant built in. And I just found it really strange having to go into the app. But I do remember it was totally accessible with VoiceOver. But has there been any major updates since that first, you know, when you say 2015 or anything, that have caused any concerns? Or has it always been rock solid when it comes to accessibility?
I think it's always been pretty good. And I remember sort of actually 2 or 3 years ago, they moved to a new app. It was like the Sonos first generation app, and then it moved to a completely new app, which is obviously a bit of a worry. But again, I don't remember encountering any problems in the sort of new app when everything sort of switched over. So in my mind, really, it's just been this recent update that's caused all the problems.
And then, of course, we get the news of the update. And it was interesting because a few people who were on the beta of that update were sort of sounding notes of concern, that's putting it mildly, saying, look, this doesn't seem to be accessible. So a lot of people were told, you know, turn off your automatic updates on your device so that it doesn't automatically update the Sonos app. You're a bit more into this than perhaps some might be. So, you know, what did you do? Did you update it on one device and keep the old one on another for safety? How did you work it?
So at the time of the update, obviously I read the news sort of a couple of weeks before the new app was rolled out, or the new sort of version of the app was rolled out. I had done some beta testing for the web player sort of a month or two beforehand, but I hadn't been included in the beta testing for the iPhone app, which I'm on now, but I wasn't at the time. So obviously was sort of quite concerned, and I'd sort of read what people were saying. But I say I'm quite lucky enough to have a few different iOS devices. So I thought what I'll do is I'll sort of update it on one, and then it'll see if it's pretty unusable. Hopefully I can still sort of go back and use the sort of older version of the app on another device.
And then the experience. So you get the new app, you have read all the concerns, you try it out. What's the experience like in comparison to the previous version?
For me, I would have to say it was pretty horrendous. Pretty much unusable, I would say. You couldn't sort of put your finger anywhere on the screen to read it out. It was all swipe gestures, a lot of sort of unlabeled stuff, very confusing. I mean, and don't get me wrong, obviously a change in app is always a little bit more of a learning curve probably for us VI people than it is for someone sighted. I know a sort of lot of sighted people weren't sort of keen on the app to start with either. I mean, sort of a basic feature on the app really sort of alarms and sleep timers to sort of have dropped them for the rollout of the app. Was sort of mind boggling, really. I couldn't believe that had happened. It has since sort of been corrected. But I do think obviously for VI people, it is more of a learning curve when an app sort of completely changes the layout and how you use it.
I think just using the term horrendous when it comes to your experience of it tells the whole story. It's really upsetting, isn't it? Because that amount of investment in your Sonos equipment, I mean, what were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, like I say, if that had been my only iOS device and I was trying to use the app, I mean, I wouldn't really have been able to control the system at all, apart from using sort of voice integration. It was pretty impossible to sort of control the speakers and group the speakers and sort of select what music you want to play through the app. I mean, it has got better. They have rolled out a couple of updates since it came out on the 7th of May, I think it was. But for me, it should never really have been rolled out that with at least some sort of warning from Sonos maybe themselves. Just said, look, we know this first generation of this app, the sort of new update is not perfect. And we advise any sort of voiceover users not to update until the 21st of May when we're sort of rolling out the next update. I personally think something should have come from them themselves.
Isn't that the core of this story, though? Isn't this, again, us just being forgotten about or not deemed of value enough to be considered? The argument is, okay, should they have just announced that voiceover support isn't there? Or should it have been, okay, voiceover support isn't there, we can't release this? Why was it that May 7th deadline was so etched in stone that it couldn't be moved?
Well, I mean, I agree with that. I don't think it should have been released as it was, I say, even for a non-voiceover user, because like I think there was a couple of big features there that weren't in the app at all.
And how does that make you feel about the company that until now, you know, you invested a lot of money into and you really liked? Has that tarnished it?
Yeah, I was very disappointed. And I mean, I don't think I'd go so far as some of the overreactions I saw online, maybe sort of about suing them and taking legal
action. Burning your speakers.
And
yes.
Stuff like that. Yes, exactly. I don't know if I'd go quite that far. And in fairness to Sonos, they did sort of put out sort of statements reasonably soon after, say, look, we have sort of dropped the ball on this a little bit, and we've got this roadmap to sort of fix the app, although they're saying it won't be back to sort of as accessible as it was until sort of the end of June or even later. But I'd say I really do think they either shouldn't have released it as it was, or they should have put out something on their official website or Twitter or X or whatever, just to say, look, we know there are these big issues with this app, we would advise. I mean, some people, you've got automatic updates turned on, haven't you? And it just sort of happens.
By default.
And I say, if you've only got one device, then you are sort of stuffed, really. I mean, I would have been sort of 2 weeks without being able to sort of control the system, like I say, turn alarms on and off and all that sort of thing. So I do totally understand the sort of frustrations that I see of people online, but I think there can be a little bit of a overreaction sometimes.
What about the updates? There was an update on May 21st.
Yes.
So what changes did that bring? Because it did state in that update that voiceover support would be, I think the actual word was something like added back in, you know, essentially.
Say basic, you know, voiceover support or something.
Yes.
Yeah, and it mentioned basic as well. So, you know, what did that mean in reality?
It was a lot more accessible after that. You didn't have to sort of swipe through the whole home screen to find something. I still think there are a lot of things missing on the app in terms of accessibility. Basically, when you go into the app, there's the home screen, and there's basically loads of rows of content and your different sources are like Pocket Cast or whatever. And you can't use like the rotor to do the headings to go sort of scroll through those, if that makes sense. So it's still not perfect. It is a lot more usable, but I still think there are problems. Just going back to the alarms again, I know I keep mentioning
you're obsessed.
There's still no way we voice over to turn them off. I don't know if there's like a little toggle switch or a tick box, but VoiceOver doesn't pick that up.
Interesting. So you would even know if the option's there.
No, so for me, I have to sort of basically turn VoiceOver off and then put my finger on the screen to where I think it is, and then you get a little sort of haptic feedback to say that you've ticked or unticked that box, and then turn VoiceOver back on. So for me, that's probably still my sort of main gripe. And there are still issues in settings and stuff like that. But I think the control of the speakers and stuff like that is definitely a lot better than it was on the 7th of May.
So let's look forward a bit, because you've got access to the beta. So you're looking at the software. And I know there are a number of people talking about being on the beta. What is happening next, essentially? Because you're getting a chance to sort of see into the future, to see what's coming down the line with this beta of the Sonos app on iPhone. What are you seeing so far? Are there any glimmers of hope here of changes coming?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's slightly improved to sort of the current releases at the moment. But I say there is things that I've fed back sort of 2 or 3 weeks ago now, and I've had sort of positive response. Oh, we're going to get our engineers or whatever to look at this, and hopefully we'll get it fixed as soon as possible. And I haven't seen any of that come through yet. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next sort of 2 or 3 weeks with that.
Elliot, really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Now, after those conversations, we reached out to Sonos. We sent in both Nikki and Elliot's story so that they could better understand the position that both they were in and many others in the blind community faced. And this was their response, which is read for us by Laura.
Firstly, for context, we set out to create a more personalised and effortless listening experience with the updated Sonos app. It was rebuilt from the ground up with a modular architecture to ensure it could support future innovation in the years to come. For its initial rollout, we focused on how we could answer some of the most common requests from our customers, including increased reliability, performance, responsiveness, and faster access to music. Being candid, we invested our user experience and engineering energy on supporting VoiceOver throughout this period. Unfortunately, near the end, we took our eye off the ball and missed a couple of key bugs. Those bug fixes shipped in a release 1 week after the app went live. We have more that we plan to do to make the experience even better and rebuild trust with customers. Our next step involves building a hearty beta community of vision impaired users. We onboarded 30 visually impaired customers to our beta program within days of our updated app launch to ensure we have their input on the next version of the app, which already has several improvements beyond the bug fixes we've already shipped. Many of our customers shared valuable feedback on both the improvements that have made their experience better, as well as the areas where we fell short. We have and continue to listen to their comments, providing ongoing updates to address the feedback as quickly as possible. We're happy to share that we've delivered multiple software updates over the last couple of months to address their concerns. These include adding the ability to add and edit alarms, improvements to screen reader for visually impaired customers, cue and playing next editing, sleep timers, local music library search and playback, updated Wi-Fi settings abilities, mute button, and firmware update abilities. As with any product or software experience in the tech industry, the development process sometimes requires more time to get to the best experience. Any currently missing features will be added to the redesigned app on a rolling basis over the coming months. We know we have some of the most passionate customers in the world, and our goal is to build the best products for them, to add sound to their lives. The feedback we receive from our listeners allows us to learn, and we always welcome it. We know that moving forward, we need to be more communicative about changes that are coming, so that we are giving our customers enough time to anticipate and adapt to what's next.
So that was the response from Sonos, as sent in by email and read by Laura. I'll be interested to hear your take on this. Are you a Sonos user? What are you feeling about the situation now? Have things improved? Of course, we're getting regular updates now. It would appear that's going to continue over the next few months. Sonos saying there, of course, they are going to continue to improve accessibility as well. So what does that mean in reality? Well, you can tell us. Feedback at doubletaponair.com is our email as always. You can call 1-877-803-4567. The story, I'm sure, will run and run. But definitely, we want to keep the pressure on to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again, right? And it sounds like Sonos are listening. But you tell us your thoughts. What do you think? As I say, email or get in touch by phone.